Every year I see these glossy brand rankings, Apple at the top, Google close behind, and then, out of nowhere, TikTok leaps up the list, and I always wonder, do we ever stop to ask what these rankings are actually measuring? Is it just about who has the shiniest ad campaign, or is there something deeper? What does it really mean for a brand to be valuable today? And maybe more importantly, what happens when a brand fades? Not because it got worse, but because the world moved on and it didn't. I think about this a lot, maybe too much. But here's the thing. If we want to understand why some brands endure while others evaporate, we need more than a score based on how people feel. We need a framework. One that shows how brands resonate culturally, systemically, narratively, behaviorally. Otherwise, we're just watching the scoreboard, not the game. Let's talk about how we've been measuring brand for decades now. Most of these rankings rely on emotional and transactional metrics. Questions like, how much do people trust it? Would you recommend it to a friend? Is it worth more than its competitors? And sure, those are useful questions, but they're also limited. These tools are good at capturing satisfaction, but they miss the early signs of decay. They tell you if people are happy, not if the brand is still relevant. When the cultural tide shifts, emotional scores lag behind. That's when meaning starts to matter more than just feelings. Because by the time the numbers drop, the story has already changed. Here's where it gets more interesting. Brands aren't just logos or products. They're living symbols. They speak in metaphor. They summon archetypes. They evoke lifestyles. And they carve out space in our cultural memory. Every brand tells a story, even if it doesn't mean to. And as culture shifts, those stories either adapt or collapse. One tool I return to is culture mapping. It helps trace how symbols move, how they rise, fracture, recombine across subcultures, media, and time. It enables the intelligence process by plotting the signals of internal and external change as a living and measurable system of language. You can see when a metaphor still holds power and when it's expired. You can see how these changes are interconnected with broader social trends. Take Marlboro, still clinging to the cowboy, that rugged, hyper-masculine icon of independence. But what does that image say in a world reshaped by climate anxiety, gender fluidity, and redefined ideas of care and connection? The lone cowboy, once aspirational, now feels out of sync with a generation that values transparency, plurality, and community. And yet here's the paradox. Post-pandemic, we're also seeing a resurgence of hyper-individuality, a craving for personal agency, a return to risk, even rebellion. For some, smoking is re-emerging, not as cool, but as defiant, as a middle finger to the wellness industrial complex. That's the complexity brands must navigate now when a symbol like smoking holds both deep stigma and renewed edge, depending on the cultural lens. When a brand's imagery and language become too familiar, too unexamined, it hits saturation, it devolves into semantic decay, and that's often the earliest sign of decline, long before emotional metrics catch up. If culture mapping shows us the shape of a brand's story, then resonance scoring tells us how deeply that story lands. And resonance isn't just about feelings, it's about alignment. With what people care about, what culture is shaping, and where systems are going next. There are three layers to this. Emotional resonance, the first layer, asks whether a brand makes people feel something. But more importantly, does it tap into subconscious aspirations, ethical discomfort, or emerging desires? Emotional resonance today is more than joy or trust. It's about tension, complexity, even contradiction. A brand that embraces ambiguity often resonates more than one that plays it safe. Cultural resonance digs deeper. It asks whether a brand's story aligns with the values, codes, and symbols moving through society. That includes how we talk about gender, identity, power, and community. In a world where norms are increasingly challenged, where identity is fluid and public discourse is polarized, brands that pretend culture isn't shifting often fall out of step fast. Look at how brands navigate pronoun usage or shift their tone during Pride Month. Some earn trust, others expose performative gaps. Cultural resonance is about whether the brand is inside those conversations, not just adjacent to them. And finally, systemic resonance. This is where many brands struggle. It's not about the ad, it's about the infrastructure behind it. Does the brand acknowledge the environmental cost of speed, the inequity in supply chains, the tension between personalization and surveillance? Resonant brands operate with systemic awareness. They don't just sell better things, they try to work better within the world. Take Apple. It once centered individual creativity with Think Different. Now it's shifting toward wellness, privacy, and ambient integration. That's narrative adaptation across all three layers: emotional clarity, cultural relevance, and systemic awareness. Or look at TikTok, emotionally addictive, culturally performative, and systemically ambiguous. It thrives through ritualized behavior. But it also raises complex questions about attention, data, and identity construction. And then there's Shein, emotionally frictionless, culturally fragmented, and systemically reckless. It's fast, but fragile. These distinctions matter because we're no longer just asking, do I like this brand? We're asking, does this brand see the world the way I do? Is it acting like it lives in the same world I do? That's what resonance means now. Not just to matter emotionally, but to matter culturally and systemically in a world that won't stop changing. Now let's talk about the brands that didn't see it coming. General Electric. Once the symbol of industrial-era dominance, a company built on scale, precision, and engineered confidence. But it never evolved its myth for the climate era. It missed the cultural shift toward agility, transparency, and ecological responsibility. GE had the pieces, but not the narrative. It could have become a clean energy leader. Instead, it became a relic of another time. Nokia, a classic case of functional success, losing to cultural momentum. It owned the language of utility, sturdy, simple, reliable. But it failed to transition into the identity era of tech. As phones became aesthetic extensions of self, vessels for taste, status, and expression, Nokia stood still. Imagine if they had re-emerged with a minimalist, privacy-forward stance aimed at emerging techno-skeptic generations, a counterpoint to algorithmic excess of the last couple of decades. It could have worked, but the brand never made that turn. And then there's Toyota, a brand with unmatched performance credibility, reliable, enduring, but narratively quiet. As Tesla took center stage with vision, volatility, and spectacle, Toyota's voice faded into the background, not because it lacked substance, but because it lacked story. These weren't failures of product or even popularity. They were failures of resonance, cultural, systemic, symbolic. The early signals were there, if you were listening. Today, Tesla faces their own unique challenges of resonance as the narrative system of culture continues to evolve. On the flip side, some brands are rising because they've mastered something far more important than style or sentiment. They've learned how to stay attuned, culturally and systemically. Apple is a classic example, a brand that grew interconnected with the subcultures of music and graphic design and used that equity to shift the home computer market away from business machines and towards more human, emotional machines. Apple has led with emotional resonance through design, personalization without overwhelm, privacy as posture. They don't just sell devices, they sell coherence, narrative control across hardware, software, and the broader ecosystem. But even Apple isn't invincible. In 2025, they hit turbulence delays in complying with the EU's Digital Markets Act, new waves of privacy litigation. There's a growing tension between the brand promise, a safe, closed garden, and their regulatory posture. Maybe it's time to reframe. Could Apple evolve from disruptor to guardian brand, a brand that balances innovation with digital dignity? And then there is Patagonia, which remains a North Star in symbolic clarity. Their ethics and brand are deeply interwoven, visible, vocal, and active. Donating the company to a trust wasn't just symbolic, it was structural. But even Patagonia isn't beyond critique. Labor practice inconsistencies are surfacing, and if they want to keep their moral high ground, they'll need to bring the same transparency to internal operations that they bring to external advocacy. TikTok is a cultural mirror, constantly shifting, endlessly generative. Its behavioral resonance is undeniable. Identity performance, remix logic, bite-sized storytelling, all folded into a daily ritual. But with increasing scrutiny over user safety and platform regulation, the brand is at an inflection point. To maintain its power, it may need to reframe not just as entertainment, but as a culture lab or even a civic platform. One that understands its influence on collective memory and political perception. And then there's Shein and the master of behavioral resonance, price, style, responsiveness, delivered with algorithmic precision, but the transparency just isn't there. Ethical fragility, environmental harm, labor, opacity. The foundation is brittle. If Shein could shift the narrative, redefine speed not as extraction, but as responsiveness to local voices, if it could minimize harm and position itself as a circular economy innovator, it might rewrite its story. But right now, that's still a very big if. So, how do we measure resonance in a way that reflects what actually matters now? The answer isn't to discard emotional metrics, but to ground them in something deeper. What we need is a new scoring model, one that pairs emotional insight with cultural relevance and systemic alignment. That's where resonance scoring comes in. It's not just a diagnostic, it's a strategic lens. We start with cultural resonance, the brand's ability to evolve its symbols, shift its language, and participate in the myths that define the moment. It asks, is the brand fluent in culture? Is it actively shaping meaning, or just repeating the past? Then we layer in systemic resonance, a measure of alignment with the forces reshaping our world, climate policy, labor ethics, surveillance, equity, decentralization. It surfaces tensions between a brand's story and its structure, between what it claims and how it operates. These two layers give us more than a snapshot. They give us trajectory, not just where a brand stands, but how well it's positioned to move forward, to adapt, to endure, to matter. Because in a world accelerating toward complexity, it's no longer enough to ask, do people like the brand? We have to ask, does the brand make sense in the world that's coming? So, to wrap up, emotional loyalty still matters, but it's no longer enough. Symbolic and systemic resonance. Those are what determine longevity now, because brands aren't just businesses anymore. They're meaning systems embedded in culture, economy, and ethics. They have the power to interpret and transmit values. Brands must learn that they are borrowing language and values from a broader system of culture. Their actions are more than how they perform in their category. Their actions determine their relevance and responsibility in society. Resonance reveals their resilience. So if you work in branding, don't just ask what your audience feels. Ask how your brand helps people make meaning. Build teams that understand culture, not just content. Integrate cultural and systemic metrics into your regular reporting, not as side notes, but as strategic signals. And honestly, make resonance a core KPI, right up there with awareness and preference. That's how you build a brand that lasts. one that evolves, connects, and endures. All right, that's it for today. Thanks for tuning in to Analyzing Trends. I'll see you next time. Stay curious.